heard from the fans how our voices basically live in their heads.
Heads up!
Our show, it's all about talking to each other, listening to each other, seeing where somebody came from, what is their background, why are they the way they are, and trying to come to some kind of common ground. And I think that that is a message for this day and age that we need desperately in society and all around the world.
Hey, Sugar. Today on the show, we are joined with the one and only Rogue, a.k.a. her real name, Lenore Zan. And of course, we talk about what is now rated the number one television series in 2024, X-Men 97. And yeah, I just read that 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you watch the episodes that are currently out now, you know why. And in this interview with Lenore, we hear about the behind-the-scenes magic of it coming back after 30 years. She said some things that I haven't heard anywhere else, so I'm really excited to share this with you. She comments on the memes, the over-sexualization of cartoon characters, thoughts on the departure of director Bo DeMeo, and just being Rogue and the beautiful connection both her and her castmates have with the fans. As a fan myself, this is a chat that made my heart warm, and I could continue to talk about it, but let's get into it. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Lenore, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I see you're out in the sun. That's awesome.
Yes. For a little while longer, it'll be out. So,
Yeah, yes. Are you great.
In Toronto?
I am. I am in the cold, dark Toronto right now.
Is it cold?
It's starting to warm up, but we had like a little snowfall on what was supposed to be considered the first day of spring. But
okay, wow.
That's Canada for you, though.
Yeah, I mean, I was there a couple weeks ago for the screening, and it was okay. It wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I also briefly met you that day.
Yeah.
Right after the screening, I was doing videography for my friend who was also interviewing you for a different show. Shout out to Andrew of Geek Card. And I thought what was really cool beyond having that experience, the screening, how they set it up, it almost felt like I was in my room in the 90s. It was like very spooky in a way. But also like what was so great is you were like one of the first people who asked me what I thought of the show. And basically what I told you was I was so impressed by almost like you see all these different series. They try to do reboots. They come back 20 years later, 30 years later, and it's never the same. And I felt the X-Men experience gave me what I hoped for and even more. And I just want to know like a little bit, like, because listening to you guys talk after the screening together, it just seems like such a family vibe. And was it like you all just like kind of just picked off where you left off like 30 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it really was. First of all, the scripts are so good in this new show. Mm-hmm. They really understand our characters, some of our dilemmas, what we're going through. And they picked it up as if it's happening, you know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, a couple of months after graduation day. And so most of us are so, you know, we love our characters and we're so deeply appreciative of them that it was just a pleasure to be able to step back into those roles and they just come right out of us. You know, Wolverine, I know Cal feels that way. Same with Storm, Allison, Beast, George, Booza, myself. It's just a pure joy to be back.
Yeah, that's so awesome too. Because I was even gonna ask if there was like some certain conditioning you had to do, or is Rogue just like riding a bike, just jumping back into it?
Well, like I like to say, she's like pulling on a pair of fine, well-worn gloves.
Fantastic.
When I put them on, she's right there and she's warm and she's right there close to my heart.
Beautiful. And like you got like a big smile right now, and even when I saw you doing other media, you could tell like you have a lot of pride around this character. And what was kind of like your initial reaction to getting these scripts and stuff? Because one thing I love about it is it does have the vibe of the old show, but it's also like very like in tune that a lot of the people are going to be checking out these are adults now, and we're two episodes in on Disney Plus, and it's starting to get a little spicy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, when I first got the call to ask me to step back into the role, I mean, I was just amazed, right? And thrilled and honored that Disney would want me to come back. We've heard from the fans how our voices basically live in their heads. And I like to joke that, well, I guess I'm living rent-free in a bunch of people's heads, you know, because they say they read the scripts and then they hear my voice in Rogue's lines, and they read the comics and there she is in their heads. But it was, you know, it was surreal. And then to get into the studio, it was on my birthday a couple of years ago, the first episode that I did. And it was just such a gift. I mean, what a great gift to be able to come back and do this, you know, almost 30 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. And like so much time has passed. And I've noticed like a lot of people who have been like breaking down these shows. I've been watching like different reactions. And even one thing I see people doing is kind of being like, oh, what was this actor doing throughout this time? And you have like such an incredible story. And I'm noticing like the reaction from people of finding out you're a politician. They're like, oh my God, like what? And kind of taking a deep dive into that. So that's got to be like such a cool like turn of events for you.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, because a lot of the fans were kids when they watched the show. And it's like some of them just assumed that, you know, well, we did that show and that was it. We didn't do anything else after that until now. But yet, meanwhile, we've all had lives. We've had rich, varied lives. And, you know, even before I did X-Men and before we did X-Men, we all had careers. So sometimes you have to go, well, actually, I was busy even before that, you know, 10 years before that, I was doing theater in New York and across Canada and over in Europe and doing films and television and other animated series. And they're like, what? Really? And I'm like, yeah, you know. And then, after the X-Men, I continued doing movies and television and theater, live theater in New York, across Canada. But then I decided to move home to Nova Scotia, where I had grown up and where my parents and my sister were still living. And I moved there in like 1997, I believe. No, sorry, 2007. And that's when I was asked to run for politics. And I was asked to run for a provincial election for the NDP, the Nova Scotian NDP party. And so I ran and I won. So amazing. Next thing you know, member of the Legislative Assembly. And then I won three more elections after that. The last one, the fourth one being federal, going federal with the Liberal Party of Canada. Prime Minister Trudeau reached out and asked me to run for his party and for him to try and help bring the country forward in a more progressive way and with environmental concerns and concerns about women and diversity and Indigenous issues, all the things I really care about. Mm-hmm. So then I said yes, and then I won that one. So 12 years I gave to public service. And then in the end, at the end of all of that, Disney came calling, asking me to step up and be a superhero again. So it's been pretty interesting. And to be honest, I also cover some of this stuff, well, quite a bit of it, in my memoir, which is coming out in the fall.
Yes, I heard.
A Rogue's Tale.
Yeah.
So it's called A Rogue's Tale, and it'll be coming out. Pottersfield Press is publishing it, and Nimbus Publishing is distributing it, and it'll be available on Amazon as well.
That's so awesome. And yeah, I heard a little snippets about this this memoir and everything. It's cool how just like your life is just kind of like went like full circle right now. And another thing too, it's just like being a woman with like so many irons in the fire. I also like discovered your music recently as well. And I listened to the 2011 album, Change the World too. And again, just kind of like hearing your voice, like, on a track, like gave me like goosebumps. I'm like, this is like Rogue if she was like singing. And would Does like the creators of X-Men know about like your music career, and would they ever like you think put like a song from Rogue in a episode or something?
Never know. Never say never. I mean, I have a new album that will be coming out too in the next like year. I'm calling it Strong Enough, which kind of suits Rogue as well. Mm-hmm. And it that's based on one of the cover tunes that I cover in it, Strong Enough by Sheryl Crow. But I just did an animated feature film, interestingly enough, here in Los Angeles. These folks from Bat in Sun is the name of the production company. They met me at one of the Comic-Cons, the LA Comic-Con a year ago, and said, oh, we just love your voice. And we've written this animated feature film for children. And it's a musical. It's going to have songs in it. Like, we don't suppose you sing, do you? And I'm like, here's a CD, you know? So I was able to give them that 2011 CD. And then they contacted me last summer and they said, okay, we got the money. We got everything. We want to fly you out to LA and record. Graham Cracker, her name is. It's called Space Bears, about these little bears live in outer space. And their mission is to go around to dying planets and try and tell the inhabitants that they need to protect and preserve the environment. And they try and help save these dying planets. And she's the mama bear who is the main trainer of all these bears. So it's so sweet. And I got to sing.
Yeah. I love like hearing about that project specifically because it's got the animation. It's got a little like a political forward pushing towards the environment. And you're singing. It's the trifecta of what you do all in one thing.
Exactly, right? So yeah. I was like, you know, something in the universe is, you know, they're sending me in this direction and I'm just saying thank you and I'm grateful and I'm really appreciative of every opportunity that comes my way. You know, after you've been in the business as long as I have and our other Canadian contingents, you know, you really do start to appreciate when you have these kinds of incredible opportunities that come back like a second time. How often does that really happen for most actors?
Yeah, I thought like another thing that was very special about like just kind of hearing you guys break down a bit of the story of behind the scenes of X-Men 97 is like all these old actors from the original, they came back and they had to re-audition and maybe their voice wasn't the same, but they still like, even maybe they weren't fitting for their original character, they're still part of the show in another way. Like they were given another character, and it was just great to see like a person like Allison Court there, who's like a voice of many other projects in my childhood, and like all these like these legends, even though maybe they're not fitting their original character, just still part of the family and the team and everything. So that's got to be super special.
And you know, like someone like Chris Potter, who played Gambit in the original show. I mean, he's been doing television now for umpteen years and he's still on Heartland, but his voice is a little bit lower and gruffer. So now he's playing Cable, which, you know, his voice is that to a T. And now they have a younger guy from LA who sounds like him when he was in his 20s. And he's job. And, you know, we really miss Norm Spencer. Mm-hmm. Our original Cyclops, but you know, Ray Chase is doing an excellent job of sounding like him, but also making it his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing, I guess like at the screening to Lawrence, I believe his last name is Bane. He was the original Cable. He was there. And one thing that got me like really emotional was after the screening, he kind of told his story of like his connection to the X-Men and everything, and kind of like teared up during it. And I'm sure you get a lot of like similar type of stories from fans. And what does that kind of mean to you with you being a part of this and getting to hear some stuff of like maybe your character being an escape for them or anything like that?
Well, first of all, I got to say a shout out to Lawrence Bane, who's a fantastic actor and did a wonderful job of Cable originally, and now he's back playing Executioner, which is a really tough bad guy, and he's really good at it, as you know, you saw the first couple of episodes.
Yeah, he was cool.
He's amazing, and you know, he's this actor, and I just love him to pieces, so it was great to see them reach out to him and bring him back. for the new show. You know, we hear from a lot of the fans that, you know, that many of our fans really did suffer when they were kids from either low self-esteem or bullying or even abuse. And some of them were also LGBTQ and were afraid to come out. They felt othered. They felt like they just didn't belong anywhere, and they just felt alone and afraid. And they said that our show was like a security blanket. Like, they would rush home, or they'd get up first thing, they'd set their alarms at 6 a.m. in the morning. Some of them told me to watch Saturday morning cartoons, you know, and they wanted to get their hit of X-Men. And they said they felt safe. They felt that we taught them that it's okay to be different, and that we're, you know, we are stronger together than we are separately, and that we have more in common than we have that is different. And sadly, you know, there are people like the Friends of Humanity out there in the world who seem to take it upon themselves to not allow others to just live their lives, but they seem to want to have a say over whether someone can do this or do that. And they're just so, you know, unfriendly towards humanity, that our show addresses those issues and puts them in perspective. Also, the fact that the world has become a lot more, it's like a tribalization where some people are in far in one corner, another group of people are in the other corner. They're not listening to each other. And even when facts are presented, it doesn't matter. And that is a sad thing. So our show, it's all about talking to each other, listening to each other, seeing where somebody came from, what is their background, why are they the way they are, and trying to come to some kind of common ground. And I think that that is a message for this day and age that we need desperately in society and all around the world.
Mm-hmm. Very, very well said. And one thing I think is so fascinating about the X-Men is, like, on the surface, you see people flying, shooting lasers, like everything like that. And for a lot of people, like, just the context of the material and the story writing, they connect to that more than other shows where it's just like a drama about humans, you know, because you guys go so deep into the core of like people's hearts and minds and values, politics, and like everything. It's like everything. Yeah. And it's just such a beautiful piece.
Thank you. Well, I would say about that too, I have my own opinions about that. And that is, like, you know, superheroes of today are a little bit like the mythic warriors and the mythic gods and goddesses of past, you know, many generations past. And the themes and the universal stories are there. Like, even, you know, the hero's journey, you know, the hero's journey, the hero of a thousand faces. Those stories are told in many cultures around the world. And these are really very similar to those, but just presented in a more modern way and in a modern type of character. But they definitely draw from those old legends, which is, I think, what gives them such longevity as well.
Yeah, it's so cool. And, like, who knows, maybe thousands of years from now, somebody's going to find an old comic book and start a religion, or, you know, like, it's of all the themes and stuff. Oh.
Stranger things happen.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And even, like, yeah, just like kind of talking about the fans too. One thing I got a kick out of, like, even prior to the show coming out, is just almost, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the memes of Rogue and people over sexualizing their memories of her, and maybe just taking one screenshot and almost, yes, like, I've noticed, like, a fake outrage, like almost like in a funny way of like how things changed. But even watching X-Men 97, I could tell, like, it's not as crazy as a difference as I thought. But what is your reaction to when you see something like this about, like, your character?
Well, you know, in some ways I have to laugh, mm-hmm, that somebody is getting so outraged over a drawing of a cartoon character.
That's ridiculous.
Especially when they try to sexualize her and just pin it down to, you know, her, you know, how big her breasts are or how big her hips are or her butt. Like, I've said on like Instagram a couple of times, I said, you know, sexuality isn't just the physical. It's also the voice, the mannerisms, the way that they move, you know, and as an actor, you take all of that on. So it's sad that they would compress it down to just one still frame from one trailer where it's just, she's flying through the screen, blip. And, you know, and back in the old days, they used to make her look like that when she was flying through too, because it was just easier for the animators. But like I said, you know, you got to see the whole package and wait till you hear my voice and wait till you hear what she's saying and, you know, and then judge on the whole package, not just one little element.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's like totally ridiculous. And even just people kind of prejudging the show before it came out. I remember even like watching the screener and it wasn't even over yet. And I was thinking about like the online reaction to little blips they saw. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are going to look like freaking idiots. This is so perfect.
I know. Yeah, and I'm in the non-binary character of Morph too. You know, people freaked out over that, but you know, it works. It so works. But he works, or they work in the show. You know, morphing into all of these different men, women, animals even. I mean, Morph is a shapeshifter, as Larry Houston says. And I think it's beautiful. There's a place for everybody in our world. And that is the beauty of the X-Men. Everybody's welcome. And we are not only tolerant, but we are very much accepting and very much enthusiastically appreciating everybody who, you know, for their differences. Mm-hmm. We think it's beautiful, you know?
Yeah, I think it's beautiful too. And I can't say enough how much I just love the vibe. And there is a announcement that one of the directors is not with you guys anymore, Bo DeMeo. And do you think going forward, like, is it going to change the vibe or is this yet to be seen?
I think it should. I mean, I loved working with Bo. Bo is so creative. He's incredible. And, you know, a lot of this is his vision. His vision is throughout the first season, also the second season. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens to the third season after that. But I have very strong beliefs that we are a great team and that the people who are involved are all very creative and very dedicated to the old, you know, the comic books and trying to make them live. So I think I'm excited. I think it's going to be very good going forward as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. You being excited is getting me excited. And I guess like as a final question, a lot of people gravitate to these segments. They're kind of different types of creatives themselves, I noticed, like from the type of messages I get to. And would you have any advice for maybe an aspiring voice actor, like trying to take their first step into the industry?
Well, first of all, I would say you need to get a voice reel done. You need to record a voice reel. And you need to be able to do a number of different type character voices, not just one, hopefully. So if you have no experience at that, I highly suggest taking a course, like a vocal course with somebody who has the experience. And then they can help guide you to create other characters that you can put together and put a reel together that you can then present and that your agents can present to casting directors. But I would say that's the first thing. But I'll tell you, the best voice actors I find are people with theater experience and also people with musical theater experience, because since you can sing, you can pitch your voice to different heights or low or high, or, you know, you have a really wide range and your ears are very in tune with how you can pitch and change your voice, and also with accents. So that's really a strong point too, if somebody has musical theater background.
That's awesome and well said. Thanks for sharing that advice, your expertise. And I just want to say, I know you've been so busy like these past couple of weeks with press and everything. And I just really appreciate you taking a moment to talk to us today.
You're so welcome. Yeah, I'm actually in Fresno, California today. Oh, I drove a friend here all afternoon from Los Angeles. We're going to do a comic book store signing tomorrow here in Fresno and meet the fans from this part of California, which I'm really looking forward to. So that'll be fun. And then we go back to town, and then I'm doing the Comic-Con that's in Anaheim, WonderCon, for the weekend, and maybe even escape a little bit and go to Disneyland because it's right there. Yeah.
Got
Why not?
And they got to give you passes, you know, you're on their channel, right?
I know. Well, Jake Pastorina is also, he is wonderful creative on this show, and he has a pass. And so we're going to probably go for a walk around, go on a couple of rides and get a bite to eat.
Yeah. I love hearing that, like around all your work, you get a little time to play. That's so
absolutely
awesome.
And it's like grabbing a little bit of sunshine here, just sitting here. And then I'm going to go work tonight and, you know, work tomorrow. And it's just such an honor to be here. And listen, every script I get, I cannot put it down until I'm finished. That is a very good sign. So you are in for an amazing ride. So buckle up your seatbelts, sugar, and get ready.
You said the line. I got goosebumps. Lenore.
Oh, good. Good.
Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy your time. Get some chill time tonight before the storm starts rolling, and everything. But yeah, we'll continue to share the memoirs when that come out, music.
Yeah,
everything.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, maybe I'll come back on your show then. We can talk about it and talk about the whole season because it'll be over by then. My book will be coming out in the fall. So
yeah, I would love that so much. You're welcome back every time.
Then we can talk about, you know, the whole season once you've seen it all and everything. And
the spoiler session. Let's go. Yeah. I love it.
All right, love. Well, listen, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. And thank you. And we'll keep in touch, okay?
Yes, absolutely. All right. We'll see you soon. Bye. Bye.
Once again, biggest thanks to Lenore for joining us today. As you know, X-Men 97 is streaming right now on Disney Plus, and keep a lookout for her future projects such as the new album and her memoirs, A Rogue's Tale. It's cool that she wants to come back to talk about that and even break down season one of X-Men with all the spoilers after it is released. That is so cool, and we're gonna take her up on that. She sent us a message right after this interview, and I sent her a little idea of how we can do a little spin on a sequel to this interview. So yeah, if this is your first time listening to the show, please, if you're on YouTube, give us a subscribe, Spotify, Apple Music, a follow. The more we grow, the more we can give you quality interviews like this. As you've seen recently, we got some great connections with the PR of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Lionsgate Films, some amazing record labels. And they're coming to me because they love the quality of these interviews. But I also am self-aware that this show is very low-key. So we're going to continue to push to get those numbers up, make them happy, and make these experiences worthwhile. And speaking of people who make my experience worthwhile, we can't go without thanking all you legends on the Patreon page supporting the show. And first up, biggest thanks to Mike Carniello of the Testing with Mike YouTube channel. If you're into electronics, technology, how they work, and most importantly, how to fix them, check out Testing with Mike on YouTube. Another huge thanks to Amanda McKnight of Top 10 Nerd. Beyond being the host of Top 10 Nerd and talking to millions of subscribers, Amanda has her very own YouTube channel you should check out, celebrating comic books, movies, video games, and much more. And she's actually covering so much X-Men 97. Even I'm going to pitch to her maybe next time we have Lenora on. We'll get Amanda on as well to co-host with me. I think that would be cool. And no doubt she'd be throwing out some incredible questions about the series. So yeah, subscribe to Amanda McKnight on YouTube. Another big thanks to the wonderful Jenny Potter, the legend Devin McBride, back-to-back Double Impact Allens, the number one gent Alan Kent, and big wig Alan Briggs. Another thanks to our favorite soul singer Saber, and last but not least, Francis Coffer, aka my
mom. If you want a shout out at the end of every episode and also get these episodes early, raw and uncut, right when I'm done the Zoom call, I just post them. You can go to patreon.com/thecreativeimbalance. And beyond having my thanks, you can just go to bed at night and sleep soundly, knowing you're a badass motherfucker who supports raw, uncut, independent media, and nobody can take that away from you. You hear me? With that being said, we got so many more episodes around the corner. Thanks for rocking with me, and we'll catch you next time. Ciao!